So, hello. I hope you're all refreshed from our nice coffee break that we just had and all buzzing from the caffeine already. Okay, so I'm here today just to literally talk to you a little bit more about how I and Expedia would look on revenue management as a whole and then go through in terms of how we see that moving forward into the future and kind of skills that graduates are going to need going forward. Things like influential skills, being a little bit more people, sales people, in terms of being able to influence what they require and their strategies to a board of directors or even GMs themselves, because that conversation can be quite a heated one in a real-time way as well. So today's agenda, I'm just going to go over what is revenue management, a brief history, revenue in hotels. Also, brief introduction to us, Expedia, for those who don't know, and also Expedia and graduate roles that we currently have available. So what is revenue management, we say? For me, it applies four rights. It is to sell the right product to the right customer at the right time for the right price. Quite simply put, obviously you can go into a huge amount of detail of how this is and different strategies, but essentially, I think this is what covers the most out of it. I have split this up into three different sections. I'm going to talk to you about revenue being an art and a science. I think revenue managers need to be musicians as they play music, but also magicians. They need to be Houdinis, be able to predict future. What I mean by that is actually predict real-time customer demand periods and actually sell at the right times, at the right prices, not discounting too much later down the line or earlier down the line, having different rate plan strategies within their different room types and things like that. So number two is offering the room rates and inventory controls that are most appropriate for the anticipated demand. So where we see, let's say London, for an example, 2012 was a great year for the UK and Ireland because of the Olympics. Now, London, actually, it was really bad in terms of occupancy because of the rates that London was requiring at that period of time. Now, I work for the UK and Ireland team. This benefited us because people started booking into the, you know, people at places like Cambridge, Oxford, Bath, and we saw a huge pickup. And domestic travel, when the Olympic rush and the Olympic kind of atmosphere started happening, was a huge pickup. So essentially, they started to slowly increase their rates towards the nearer the time, whereas I think 2 years before, London was cut off at all, you know, rooms availability. They only wanted to have longer length of stay, huge minimum stay restrictions and things like that. So number three is literally, in practical terms, again, as I said before, it means not selling something today at a low price. If it can be sold tomorrow at a higher price, by the same token by that, it also means allowing something to be sold today at a lower price if it's otherwise likely to remain unsold. Now, some revenue managers may look at things like they have to know their base cost, what they need to make from that room in order for it to be sold. So let's say £100 selling rate, but actually when you look at all the costing involved and looking at the P&L, they actually need to achieve £45, let's say, for that. So they may just actually say if there's no rooms to be sold and they are selling lower than that, then they may just opt just to leave it off, don't sell it, and concentrate on more of an ADR push or average daily rate cost going forward. So again, the four principles, the four rights, right price, right product, right time, and the right customer. Myself, working for Expedia, it's very vital for me to understand when I work with hotel partners and I liaise with different revenue managers from the independent hotel, independent guest house that only has 7 rooms, or the big, you know, chains like Accor, IHG, Hilton, Marriott. And they all have to apply this. Now, there's certain... some of the bigger chains will understand this a lot more, but having an independent guest house who has only 7 rooms, they don't understand this and they want to invest in technology. And so having them to understand where demand is, they rely on all this information from ourselves when we're working from them. And it's a joy to work with them, and actually a pleasure to be able to say, well, actually, this is what we're seeing in stats in terms of booking windows, and actually saying to them, well, actually, why don't you offer a stay-night offer over this period if you're struggling? Let's say January, the Q1, is always traditionally a low season, so you'll have the whole market give you offers. But, you know, for us, it's like, is there any point in having a offer for every single hotel when, to a consumer point of view, they're just seeing lots? So everyone then starts to discount more and more and more to get up the sort and ranks and things like that. So it's just a fine balance of actually utilising what's there to what's going on. So a brief history about revenue management in general is essentially, I'm just going to touch on this because I know there's academics in the room that we could go on for ages about the history of revenue management, is it all evolved from the airline industry, and it's actually quite very, it's an early, early kind of concept, really. It started in the 1980s, from my understanding and research, and it came from a deregulation, from government deregulation in the 1980s. And it was born out to fill a minimum certain number of seats within an airline without selling them at a discount, so at their full maximum price that they could be sold at. The idea of revenue management is to really sell enough seats, as I said before, to actually meet your operating costs. So traditionally, you will have forecasted results for already this year. The hotel industry should have already forecasted the remaining 2013. Each of those months, they will have occupancy, ADR, and kind of targets that they need to meet. Within that, a revenue manager would need to understand and actually then strategize how they're going to meet those things. And then obviously expect that from the GM or the board of directors. If they don't meet that, you kind of get a bit of a slap on the wrist and maybe your foot's out the door by the end of the year. And then essentially once fixed expenses are covered, the fewer remaining seats that once you've hit those can be actually then brought up in price and then essentially sold at a higher price because they don't, you know, it's just profit after that. They're just achieving the profit. again, a little bit of a brief. So this is, again, I think the term busy slide. Airline and hotel revenue management then decide was actually split out from there, and hotel revenue management decided to look at this and say actually they could use those type of skills that the airlines were doing at the time and bring them into a hotel background. So I would say revenue management as a whole is still evolving to this day. There are huge amounts of technology investment into revenue management to where, you know, I think a lot of the London hotels, you may say, look at Hilton, for instance, they change their rates and availability 3 times a day. That's an automated process. Now, when I was working for Mondo, and I used to look at the Hilton part, I think the one on Park Lane, I used to use RateTiger. I don't know if anyone uses, have heard of this technology partner. It's a channel manager that allows me to change my rates, and I can feed those rates out to various different channels that I advertise through. So I was looking at them, and every hour, 11:01 changed. So I used to then 5p under there. So because essentially I was an independent compared to them, and I needed to constantly just update. And that's what I was doing, you know, 3 times a day. And then, but it was interesting. I learned later down the line that was an automated process. And then, you know, I felt like a bit of a wally. But it's an interesting, you're always constantly learning is the key message here. There are other systems out there that will, you know, technology now will able you to directly feed into a property management system. So, you know, that property management system will just be linked to nearly every facet of the business in a hotel operation, whether it's housekeeping, whether it's your ops, whether it's cleaning, whether it's, you know, F&B, whether it's the, you know, how many rooms that are sold that day. You'll see that, you know, the likes of us today that were staying at Jury's, they printed out what they use Opera. They had a sheet of all the check-ins the next day and who had breakfast, and they had just highlighted. And I still find that interesting that they don't have a screen on that desk telling them there, and there's still paper. So there's still, you know, things to look at. So why and how you can apply revenue management into hotels is essentially, a hotel has fixed capacity. So let's take the Jury's in Sheffield here. It has, I think, about 186 rooms in total. The guest rooms are a perishable product. But what that I mean is It is fixed, and once a date, so let's say today, has gone, you've lost the revenue. If it's not sold, it's gone. You have to then move on and try and recoup that later on down the line. It's fixed high costs and low variable costs. And product can be priced differently depending on the different room types they have. So that's why you have maybe a single room or a twin room, a standard, a superior, an executive. There's all these fancy names that I think for the hotels give the consumer the choice of actually, if they pay £10 more, this upselling all the time, trying to utilize and maximize the most amount from that consumer themselves. Product can be sold in advance. We talk about advance purchase. Right now, in 2013, it was very interesting because after 2012, the hotels were like, yes, you know, we had a great year, especially in the UK and Ireland, where they felt very strong. So in January, we saw huge average daily rate pushes compared year on year this time last year. So I had, I think, St. David's Hotel and Spa in Cardiff. It's a five-star product. They decided to grow their ADR year on year by 20%. And I just was shocked at the figures, what I was seeing coming from ourselves. So I had a word with the revenue management. I think they're part of Principal Haley, if you know the chain in the UK. And they said, well, we're really confident. We had a great December. I want to carry on with that. But we saw booking windows increase by nearly 15 days year on year, meaning the consumer was actually a lot more comfortable this year booking further out. So what I suggested to them was actually look at your advanced purchase rate plans. Make them non-refundable. Give them a certain percent of discount. But within that, you need to segment even more in terms of saying, you know, have a 7-day advance purchase, but also offer a 21, also offer a 14, also offer 90-day and a 60-day. So within that room type, they will have already just on advanced purchase rate plans about 6 different rate plans that a revenue manager has to yield. And certain points of where you reach certain occupancy levels within those room types, they then get closed out. And then you yield and you maximize on the price nearer to the time. So that's just one way of doing that. Okay. So a revenue manager, I'm going to talk to you about the key things that they will always talk about, the terminology that they will always use, and what's expected from them when they actually have to meet with the board, meet with their line managers or their general managers within there, or indeed an owner, because sometimes I liaise with owners of smaller operations. So occupancy. So occupancy is basically based on the proportion of number of rooms that are the bedrooms that are available during a period, which is occupied during that period. So let's say out of this maybe 100 rooms, there's only 80 rooms sold that day, then that's 80% occupancy for that day. And they will be able to track this on a daily basis, depending on the system they use. The other big and important one is the average room rate. What was that rate for that period, for that time? So essentially, they look at this on a monthly basis. How, depending on where the revenue is, they may look at this on a daily basis, even a half day in terms of what I mean by a half weekly or a weekly basis as well. It just depends on where there was. Me, when I was working, I expected daily reports for ADR and also weekly and monthly at the end of it, just to see where we were and actually where we could yield. So let's say, and then look at individual days. You know, Sunday's ADR would be quite low. We didn't sell enough rooms. So essentially, how did we utilize that to, again, drive more people within the business to come, especially the corporate market, let's say, because they're traveling on a Monday, get them to travel on a Sunday the day before and spend a night with me, and then they can stay over and it's an easy morning. So that's essentially what I did yesterday. I stayed last night to make it an easy morning today. The other little bits and bobs when they go into their monthly reporting is things like they have to report on room RevPAR, which is essentially RevPAR in short. This is the total bedroom revenue for the period divided by the total available rooms during the period. Now, this can be done on a hotel level or this can be done on a local level as well. So London has reports every month, I believe, on their average rate PAR, their RevPAR for that period, that they can then benchmark themselves on, well, actually, there's opportunity here to maximize, or actually we're too high. That's why we're not picking enough up. We need to then drop that down. The other thing is total RevPAR. So that's everything within the hotel revenue that's coming on board. So basically taking that in account of F&B revenue, taking account of any upselling, anything like that, a spa as well. And then the next thing is payroll. It's a percentage. So the payroll is for all the hotels in the sample as a percentage of the total revenue. And then last, and this is slowly, I think we've seen certain different terminology, is GOPAR. And this is the total gross operating profit for that period, divided by the total available rooms during that period too.
Question.
Yes.
So going back to that one, the average room rate, it's a little bit of a funny number, isn't it? Because you can sell one room at $10,000, mm-hmm. but it actually doesn't show anything. It shows that you have a very high average room rate because it's divided by one, mm-hmm. right? But the occupancy and the rev par is more interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah?
So
why do we still use the average room rate? Is it to benchmark with the city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For instance, if I look at it on a hotel, if I put my hotel hat on right now, so when I was working as a GM in London, what I would constantly look for is look at my competitors out in the market. I would have a comp set that I would look at and look at on a daily basis what their average room rate was. Now, you would have to do this at the moment in London. I think in places like Dubai, because my other portfolio is in Dubai, there was STR reports that you were allowed to and sharing of data, whereas in London, I think because of legalities and things, you have to just shop around and find what the rates are for that particular day. So you can benchmark. You could benchmark yourselves within the marketplace per day, and actually on a per weekly basis. So Expedia, on the back office side of things for a hotel partner, we give them a synopsis of the next 28 days and where they're priced compared to them, and we actually highlight the sales of all the partners that we work with, where they sit. So we don't allow them to have a look. They have to know their own star rating. So it's based on like things like, you know, star rating's important, you know, 5-star or 4-star or 3-star product, but also just prices as well. I mean, when to discount and when to not. I think it's an art form. You do need to have a kind of a feel for how things are going to happen. You need to know what's happening in the marketplace. You know, let's say the London 2012, as soon as it got announced, I remember working the hotel. I had 55 bookings on fax the next day that came through. And that's because my technology didn't work because I wasn't able to close out, because I would have closed out straight away. But there's key dates. You know when Madonna, you may not like Madonna, I don't personally, because of her music, but I do like other stuff. But essentially, when she announces a tour in Cardiff, bookings go through. She's a demand, you know, you have to, she creates demand within a marketplace. The city will fill. So you need to know those things. One Direction, I think Jane mentioned One Direction earlier, they announced a UK tour, their world tour, UK tour this year. And that was very interesting for the hotel partners, because Cardiff and Manchester, all the hotels in the market filled up within a space of 5 minutes. And they weren't, when they're working with the likes of partners like ourselves, what they want to do is utilize. When they work with Expedia or any online travel agent, essentially as a third party, they want to close us out. They would like to close the availability with us and just have them book directly, because we charge a certain percentage of the marketing that we do on behalf of them. So when those kind of dates happen, the revenue managers have to react. It's a very reactive kind of industry. And you need to be, I would say, kind of online. You know, you can have the technology to work from home and quickly just log on and boom, done, and things like that. So where we see future revenue managers, what I mean is they need to be able to read the future. There are so many different types of revenue managers that I have encountered in just my experience within the industry. And where we see them going is essentially, there's a lot of technology that's built up to make the process is a lot more easier. Traditionally, you had to be very analytical. You need to understand Excel exceedingly well, be able to manipulate reports and things like that. But that's now become a lot more automated. There is technology behind you that's actually quite cheap to do and to implement. They need to be people orientated. Before, they were, you know, very analyzing behind a computer. Now they need to be able to interact with people like me. I'm going to come and visit them and talk to them about strategy. They need to be able to do that. They need to know how to sell online. You know, online business last year already grew by a further 21%. And it's interesting how this is further. So if they don't have a direct platform and they don't understand how to advertise their own hotel online, they need to understand how to do that and the avenues they go around doing that. You know, a lot of hotels in London have now turned off, like, FIT business, group wholesale business, and they're concentrating much more on going online business in terms of the traditional GDS feed even, which is, I found that quite interesting on some of them. And also be adaptable. I cannot stress the last point enough. You need to be able to cope with change. You need to be reactive. Don't be stubborn. Just because you have a strategy in your head, if you've planned out or forecast the whole year, and then you know something's done. You know, the ash cloud that happened, I don't know if you remember, happened in London. There was a huge amount of cancellations. But actually on the back of that, people then panicked. But then on the other thing, people couldn't fly out. So they were still booking in. So it's a matter of being reactive and having the correct prices and not dump the prices right to the low. You have a question?
Just adding to our conversation this morning, I think that this is a brilliant role for students and graduates to have. If they read the newspaper every day, if they know what the trends are and what's going on in the world, mm-hmm. and actually with the background of a degree from a hospitality school, this is a brilliant role because you have a great exposure also to the management team of the hotel. And you are actually driving revenue. You're making commercial decisions here, but you have to come in and be able to communicate and understand profit and loss.
Yeah. Again, I think...
It's a brilliant role.
Henrik did point out in his presentation earlier about the need to be able to effectively communicate your strategy. This doesn't just go to external partners. This actually is even internal scenarios. I've had heated debates with my board of directors who I had to travel to Dubai because they were sat in Dubai. And it's knowing the culture. You're dealing with so many different cultures nowadays. And investment into the hospitality, it's not coming from the US. It's not coming from the UK right now. It's Middle Eastern, the markets, the Asia are where the investment is. This is why the UK, I think, Visit Britain, especially the who we closely work with, are doing a lot of campaigning within that region to bring in investment into the UK. So this is what the Olympics was very successful because of that. We haven't heard of it so much in the news and the press yet, but you'll be able to see the benefits of that coming forward going into the next 3 years or so. Okay, so I'm going to show you a quick video of how Expedia is. Many of you, I don't know how, we are relatively young in the marketplace. We're only 15, essentially. We only turned 15 a long time ago, but we've grown substantially. But I'll let...
How could in 15 years one company literally change the travel industry forever and become the most important player in it?
I remember asking people at that time, you know, what made them leave Microsoft, and it was the same answer. It was really the passion for travel and the ability to make an impact on this company.
It was a blast. It was a blast because we had a great, passionate team of folks who believed in what we were trying to do, and we really built a nice team of people and were able to make that dream a reality.
Why do you want to book online once you can call a travel consultant and send the files? So at the beginning, it was not that easy, and we had a lot of education to do, and once it started, it went quite fast.
I can't believe it's been 15 years since we launched Expedia.
So as you can see, we as a company have grown quite vastly in the last 15 years, quite substantially in the numbers of employees that we've employed on a global scale, but also the brands that you may have noticed that we are actually part of. Expedia Inc. is the company, but essentially there's a lot of brands within that that a lot of people don't realize that actually it is Expedia. And quite recently, we have just taken a controlling stake within Trivago, which is a meta search. So essentially, and then I think Jane mentioned Sunday Times Best Employees that got announced, and I'm proud to say that we actually came 22nd. This is the first time we entered, so as a company we are now 22nd within that. So that's a little bit of a plug for Expedia there. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about culture. It's been mentioned about company culture, how I see it. So I'm an employee for Expedia right now, and I'm very much into the culture of Expedia. I am proud of the fact that I work for such a company that actually focuses on an employee. We have a direct link to our CEO, and we use Twitter. He has a Twitter account on our intranet, and we can ask him any questions whatsoever. Obviously, there is a slight lag in his response time because he's a busy guy himself, doing more kind of PR than anything else, I know. But essentially, you know, that's the kind of culture that we live in, and our offices are fun. They're an environment where you may think I'm in a suit right now, but when I go to the office and I'm working in the office, I'm in jeans, I'm in, you know, my Converse, which I love Converses, I have about 5 pairs. you know, things like that. It's that kind of culture and a relaxed atmosphere that we provide. Our mission, and this is very important, and every employee gets told this right from the offset, is to revolutionize travel through the power of technology. We are constantly investing in ways to improve that process between a consumer booking on the site, how it interacts on the back office, how it then feeds into a hotel or a flight or a travel destination property management systems, or how they receive that booking, to make it as seamlessly as possible. Now, the consumer essentially doesn't know any of this happens, but essentially all this technology is all bitten up. We came from Microsoft, and we've had a major update recently because we were kind of the oldest, already 15, but we're kind of old in technology already, so we're having to invest constantly. We're passionate about travel. Now, I don't know if anyone saw any advertisement recently about travel-empowered people. And it's the whole concept that we love to travel. I've been able to travel to destinations through Expedia that not necessarily I would have gone on and picked out and organized myself, but it's been great to be able to go to some of the destinations in Asia, in America, and everyone is like that with an Expedia. I think we all have that passion. Innovative, I said about the technology, and essentially enterprising. We like to be innovative within the marketplace, bring a new product and actually launch it and say, actually, this is a driver for the industry as a whole. So how big is Expedia Inc.? Well, this is the latest stats from essentially 2000 and the back end of 2012, October. We are in class as the world's leading online booking company. We have over 1 billion searches daily on our sites, 31 billion gross bookings, 3 billion in revenue, and we have over now 11,000 employees, and this is vastly growing. Already in Q1, despite the economic climate that we're in, I'm here to offer good news, we are hiring. So essentially, that number is growing in Q1 within EMEA. When I say EMEA, that means Europe, Middle East, and Africa. We have over 300 roles in just the Q1 period. And I know the London team have just expanded on the team of 6. My team essentially are hiring a lot more. So we are constantly investing. So at the moment, Bellevue is our Expedia's head office. So that's in the US. And hotels.com's headquarters is the London office where I sit. And they take the whole of the 5th floor. And they also have a balcony with barbecues, which kind of tease the Expedia lot off a little bit more. Okay, so this is our brand of channels. And essentially, we are a retail online website. So for me, coming from a hotel background, my education was actually to understand what a consumer is doing on a .com and understanding that's actually a retail point of view, but also understanding where the hotels sit. So Expedia, we offer, it's a retail outlet, but also package. Package means that we are not offering a package holiday whatsoever. When we say package, it means we are putting together a hotel and a flight together and give the option to the consumer to book those two together at one point and have an all-in-one process. There are ways that a revenue manager will be able to utilize that because they can offer a certain discount if they package that up with a hotel, that when it goes to the site, when it's a combined price, whoever's shopping doesn't know where that discount's, whether it's coming from. So there's a bit of a hotels.com, just a retail site, does what it says on the tin. It sells just hotels. The affiliate network. Now, the affiliate network is our white label product or booking engine portal that we empower other websites. So the technology like Chameleon, I don't know if any of you heard Easy to Book or Eurobookings.com. These are affiliates of ours. So they basically plug into our system, our rates and availability, and then sell them through there. So they are called, we have over 10,000 affiliates within the marketplace. Hotwire, did anyone know Hotwire was an Expedia brand? Nope. Because you may have seen the advertisements quite recently on the Hotwire brand. They're majorly launching within the UK. And the idea is opaque.
What does opaque mean?
Just my last. Opaque means, so on last minute, you will see secret hotels. That's exactly what it means. The consumer does not know what hotel they're booking. All they know is the guest reviews. This is why guest reviews, I think Henrik and Jane both said that guest reviews are very important, and the star rating of that hotel. It's up to the consumer to do the research. If they're clever, they'll be able to figure out what hotel it is within the marketplace, but essentially it's just advertised like that. And Hotwire is used by revenue management, because if I said next week I have a huge amount of rooms on a Tuesday, but I'm full on, let's say, Monday and Wednesday. Well, that'll be good. But if Tuesday I had nearly 80% still left, what I would use is something like Hotwire to push my last-minute rooms through. And what I would do is offer quite a deep discount because I've already achieved those two average daily rates on those 2 days to get more bookings and utilize Expedia. Not just Expedia, I'm saying there's bookings.com, there's last minute, there's late rooms, there's lots of different other online travel agents that hotels work with and partner with.
So will you only pick up those discounts on Hotwire and you won't pick them up in Expedia?
No, so the idea between the brands is if you offer something on Hotwire, what it will do on the Expedia point of sale is actually come up as a secret saver hotel, save up to 40%. So these aren't done separately, everything's done intertwined to get the maximum exposure for that within the marketplace. Agencia, who has heard of Agencia? Yeah, no one. Okay, so Agencia is our corporate platform. It is the fifth biggest corporate booking agency, and it competes with the normal GDS feed that's out there now. And essentially, any partner that partners with us on Expedia, on an online point of sale, what we ask is, we've just recently won the contract or the contract for Pepsi for Europe, which we're very, very happy with. And Pepsi would bring in a certain amount of room nights. And all a hotel has to do is offer 10% off their normal online bar selling rates to be featured on here. The benefit to them is if they get a corporate booking on that way, they're actually achieving a higher ADR than a traditional contracted corporate rate plan that they would have to do in the local marketplace. Now, they do obviously pay a certain percentage, but that percentage is then balanced out with that. So it's another utilization. Veneray.com, not veneer. The English always say veneer, but I've been told recently it's Veneray, is another point of sale. But that was acquired because this is very big in the Mediterranean region, so an Italian point of sale, and brought in product, things like service departments in the Europe space that we were lacking. And now that's quite recently merged in within the rest of the team, so there was two actually extra dates. Elong is our China brand. We took a controlling stake within China because it was a market that we obviously needed to be in, but implementing a whole new Expedia in the brand was quite hard, so we decided to take on one there. And then Local Expert is our destination management services as well. So where these are offered online is, obviously, all the brands are offered on online, and we also have a dedicated call centre to each of these brands. So when someone visits the site, they can either book online or they can call up the local number. However, mobile and tablet technology it has increased 40% year on year in terms of where people are booking, and actually not so much on a computer anymore. Now, when I got my iPad, not so much my iPhone, but my iPad, I used app technology a hell of a lot more, and that's where we've now developed those apps. So we find that people book on the apps very last minute. So corporate travellers, we've seen people that would book in a car park and the hotel's right in front of them, and they've booked online and then they've arrived at the hotel. By the time the technology's worked, the hotel still hasn't received their confirmation yet from Expedia saying that's done, and then they're calling me up going, I've got this booking, they haven't arrived, can you just check? And I check and goes, oh, actually, they've just made it through the app, so just bear with it, it's coming through, just accept the booking, kind of thing. But that's...
Is the price the same whichever technology you use?
Yes, this is all managed by the revenue manager. We don't take control of what the revenue manager does within that hotel of prices and availability. It's up to them. My job is to actually use the influential skills for them to use us the most. And they can utilize the fact that we can do last-minute bookings. So if they said to me, actually, Krish, I want to utilize more mobile app bookings, I would say to them, offer a last-minute offer. So on the same day bookings, offer them a 20% discount. And within that sort, they'll be up higher. So people tend to book there first. So there's lots of different ways.
And another question to that is, Benare and Expedia, would that be the same rate?
Yes. So one technology platform,
yeah.
They offer the rooms and rates for us.
Yeah.
We advertise across the board.
Okay. And it will be rate parity absolutely there?
Yep.
Okay.
Apparently, on legal terms, I'm not allowed to say that, but I have to say market competitiveness. There was a whole spiel about we got that.
No,
okay, so these are our brands and where we are placed in the world. Currently, we have 100 different branded sites on a global front in 70 different countries. You will note that actually hotels.com has more pinpoints than Expedia, and probably in the UK, Expedia is a much more known brand than a hotels.com. The reason why is to implement a point of sale in certain countries, because we sell flights as well as hotels, the legalities of actually selling a flight online is actually quite intense, and the technology isn't up to date as far as hotels are. Hotels have advanced the technology in terms of their revenue management, but the way the traditional feeds work so much in terms of the flight booking, that's still an area that we're looking into. That's hence why there's less of them. But they do perform once they are launched. And obviously, Elong is only the one in China over there. So we work with different partners across the board. So essentially, there is an airline team that will do exactly my role that I do for hotels and destination services. So things like Destination Bristol, for instance, I will work quite closely with and get them to advertise online. You may see when you visit the site, if you have, Visit Holland and things like that. These are destination management teams that we work with. And again, the biggest one is over 145,000 hotels on the site. These are some of our offices. The bigger ones are a place where we have more of the personnel within that office. So Bellevue's in big because that's our biggest number of employees there. London, Sydney, we are global. We have over 500 now market management teams strong that look after the hotel partners. Traditionally, each market manager, like myself, will be in charge of around 1,500 hotels per their region, depending on their size. And it's a good number because you can manage them, and you do have a team. So I have a team of essentially two market associates and one area market manager that would look after me, and we look after that region as a whole. So it's not just all on me, don't worry, there is a team there as well. So our experience with where we actually recruit at the moment, you would be maybe a little bit shocked to know that actually 49% of our market management team do have hospitality management degree or certificate in that region. We, 31, like myself, I fall in the 31% that have worked in the hotel revenue management. I also fall in the 39% where we are sales and marketing. We recruit from there. And also quite a high amount are actually 10 years or more within the industry. So while my senior director, she was global distribution manager for Hilton, and now she works for our team and she manages us as a region. Next is what we're looking for. And this is more for like our sense. We have a culture of saying, choose your future. It is really up to you. You know, when I graduated about 6.5 years ago, I actually didn't know what I wanted to do. I'm a Generation Y. I went home for 3 months after I graduated and decided I needed to understand what I wanted to do and where my path led me. I fell into hospitality completely by accident. I actually got made redundant from Regis. I remember crying, I'm going to admit that, on the steps of bank. Actually, I used to work in bank, thinking, what's going to happen? I didn't understand. I've got no job. And I just got myself a bar job, and then it just started from there. And it's amazing where you can land and where that road will take you. So each and every one of you graduating this year or going out in the industry, I would say, although it's been said we're in an economic climate, but it's what you make of it. You know, there are jobs out there. There are people that are hiring. It's how you get out there and go about that. So we say, choose your adventure, which is true. It is an ever-changing and fast-paced environment. You need to be up to date with things. You know, there's so many different technology online platforms like Facebook and things like that are great just to get some information from. And LinkedIn. LinkedIn is great to put your CV on. And actually, I know our recruitment teams will look out on LinkedIn and actually maybe reach out to certain individuals when they have their online thing. So that's another good one to do. Work hard and play hard. This is our CEO and our CFO. And these two on their market calls when they have to deliver our financial results are quite funny. But this is the culture we live in. I am running the London Marathon this year due to Expedia. We try to give back. We're running on behalf of Childline. There's about 31 of us. We have to reach a target of 64 grand for Childline and NSPCC, but also local charities worldwide. And we do a lot of these culturally on a daily basis. So, and we have donut days, so American, I know. But over here we have cupcake days, which is quite good. So yeah, this gives you an idea. So roles that we have, I mentioned the market associate role. The roles that we currently are looking for are our entry-level positions into market management. They are essentially, the key skills, like I said before, is actually to have an influential kind of background to you, a little bit be people. You're able to talk to hotels. Don't be scared of talking to someone that's actually on the face of things. He's like a big guy within Hilton. But actually, he's just a human being. He's going to be able to talk to you. There's no need to be scared about it. And actually just look and be that advisory and consultative approach. And again, actually have the influential offers is where you have to actually secure value-added promotions for our site. So sometimes when we run a 24-hour sale, we have to ask the hotel for an exclusive offer during that time. That's one of the benchmarks that the point of sale have. So in order for them to do that and not have run it on their own website sometimes is actually very hard. But you actually say, well, look, it's going to reach out here. If you don't want that offer being loaded within the UK and actually just targeted your international audience, I'll do that. So there's certain things like that that you can do. This is a list of what we're looking for in terms of revenue management, data and analytics. Again, we have the technology we built system called Dashboard that gives me all the data that I need so much faster, because I think when I first started I was logging into seven different systems just to be able to pull data that I needed. Again, written and communication skills are vital, being able to communicate at all levels. Now, for one thing that I need to build on professionally is my languages. I only speak English, so working in the UK, but I do want to go out and I've worked in Dubai before, but Dubai spoke English, so I didn't have any problem with it. But actually having that Arabic would be quite good as well within that place. We also do industry placements, and these can be anywhere in the world. So essentially you may be doing this, but you can actually go over to, you know, Bellevue or Bangkok if you wanted to and things like that. And essentially help with projects that are going out. You will not be a tea man or a tea lady, trust me. I have to get my own stuff. We have Starbucks that's free on demand at our offices and things like that. So, you know, there are machines to do that for you, essentially. But essentially you'll get into the nitty-gritty details of different projects that are going on in terms of implementation of products, how, and operationally, if you want to know about more the .com side and actually know how we implement and advertise online to points of sale marketing. So although I'm classed as a marketing manager, there are other marketing managers that are that basically have to design and create what's going on the actual site themselves. We have an influence. They always have to come to market manager of the region to get authorization to get that done. But it's interesting for me because I have to then drive demand as well. So that's also quite good. Again, full-time roles available on our site as well, on our job site. If you go to Expedia.com and click on the jobs, you can link and there's all those details there. Again, these are just some of the offices where we have currently available roles. And that's me. I hope that's given you a little bit of an insight to everything. And thank you very much. I think I'm on time.